Media Litter Sandwich is part of the Pod Bros Network.
What up, brah?
Welcome to another episode of Media Litter Sandwich, and I'm here with
William McCormick from allaboutwilliam.com
and
Mark Maxwell, crazymark.com.
And I'm Toden from Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. Now, today, we're going to talk about something where we're often warned about this, but I know I'm guilty. I know William's guilty.
I'm definitely guilty.
It's being gearheads.
Oh, yeah.
Buying, you know, you look around like, wow, I could probably use this piece of equipment, or I need this piece of equipment. This is what everyone has. I need this in order to do blank. And when you really don't, but you might not know that at the time. Spending money on stuff you don't really need.
But you never can tell. Something just might come up and you need that for that golden opportunity.
I'm just going to say this right now off top of my head. The biggest thing that I see people constantly come up to me and say, I need this. It's GoPros. You don't always need a GoPro. And yes, if you have like a GoPro and you're not using a GoPro for what it should be used for, like we are using a GoPro here, we're using it as a wide angle.
And we're using it as a prop.
But if you believe that you need a GoPro in order to be a vlogger,
oh no.
But man,
might be a gearhead, or you just might need it to do a little more research. Of course, if you're doing extreme sports, that's again beside the point.
But if you have a GoPro, you got all the fun. I mean, their marketing campaign is just so up there, man. Jeez, everybody's got all the fun with a GoPro.
See, now those, what you just held, that's not for GoPro. That is for my dual 360 cameras, which I do use those, actually.
You've been having fun with that.
People do buy waterproof casing for cameras and never use them.
I got one.
Yep. I have another one for a single 360 cam, which I've never used because when I use my 360 cameras, I only use them as dual.
But I will say that having a water-protective, water-resistant cover for your camera is the bee's knees, man, because if I wouldn't have had one on my GoPro, I would have never gotten that shot of dino fish when I went snorkeling.
But a lot of people, they buy them thinking, well, what if I want to take it swimming? And people do that, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But how many people buy gear and never use it for what, you know, for what it's for, or just realize that they should have bought it? Go.
Well, hey, I got this for what if I wanted to do selfie vlogs while walking around. I got it a year ago. How many times have I used it? Once.
See, I use selfie sticks all the time. However, like I have a Bluetooth selfie stick, which I never use the Bluetooth capabilities
that came
of it.
Bluetooth too, but I took it off. It actually fell off, and then I just didn't use it. So.
Okay. I even have like lenses for my cell phone that are supposed to be like wide angle lenses and an extra micro lens. It was junk. It was absolute junk. And now I go back to it. It's like I don't need it anyways. I don't need a wide angle lens for my cell phone. And eventually I will use my cell phone for vlogging, and I have done experiments with it, but it was absolute junk. And go ahead, pass me angle lens.
Hey, Will, does this extend?
Yes, it does. Actually. It's a twist lock.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of them are. I broke selfie stick not
like
knowing
special
that
right up
once.
There.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a fancy twist lock.
That looks like when the selfie sticks, a lot of selfie sticks look similar now. I got a couple free selfie sticks to review them. If you look back in my videos on YouTube, you can actually see it where I actually broke it at first because I didn't know you're supposed to twist. Now, the top end of it broke completely on its own, and that was what I complained about, and they sent me another one. So now I have two more selfie sticks because I, you know, Gorilla glued it and made it work.
I got a real one that'll break a lot of people's hearts. I know a lot of peeps went out and bought selfie sticks for lots of money, and you can get it in certain places for under $2.
Yeah, but those, you pay for what you get. My first selfie stick I bought paid like $75, and I still have it.
My first
and selfie stick. And I still use it because it's extremely sturdy, and I got large, not just cell phones, but larger cameras I could put on it, and it's balanced. And it's in some of my previous videos. Now, do I use it now? No, because I can't put it in my pocket. I don't.
And you
use
can
it
use
that
it
often.
As a self defense mechanism.
Well, that one, yes, the one I'm talking about, I paid $75 for. Yes, I walked down some really shady neighborhoods with it, and some of the people with me, they actually felt better that I had that with me.
Well, now my first selfie stick was $5, and it couldn't hold my cell phone. It would noticeably bend. He saw it at one of the cons last year.
Made of aluminum foil.
Something. And cardboard. I think aluminum foil probably would have lasted better.
But yeah, as far as gearheads go, you know, a lot of times you aspire to pick up that piece of merchandise that's like several hundred bucks. Yeah, you're aching, you're dying for it because you know that with that thing, it's going to open up doors and allow you to walk in front of cameras and advertise what you have on your back or whatever you're wearing on your chest. And by the way, we're wearing all sorts of cool t-shirts today. We like Mighty Mouse and over here, McCormick Computers. Yep. And of course, Toten's a YouTube creator. But yeah, that gear that you find, all of a sudden it's like, I mean, Toad had to have this 360 camera, and he's been
loving
it.
And I use it, But a lot of people that buy those 360 cameras, what do they use them for? They use them for vlogging. They'll put them on a selfie stick. By the way, this is a $75 selfie stick, which went on the market before everyone had a selfie stick. I remember going to Disney. Well, which one's in California? Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
Disneyland with a few hundred people that all had these a good 2 years before it was banned. At least 2 years. Maybe it was a year and a half. But it was, you know, a good amount of time before these things were banned. And this was a really good one. This was worth it for the time. But do I use this now? No, because these are super common. You can get them anywhere,
wait,
they'll fit in your pocket.
Here.
And it's balanced.
No. It's not just a baton anymore, but this is also one heck of a monopod if you know how to use
exactly.
it.
Exactly,
right,
and that's
gear.
One of the things I used it for.
Yeah, and it's still fantastic. I used this at a show recently. And so don't discount a selfie stick just because you're not using a cell phone at the end. You can always budget your production.
Not everyone needs it. And just, you know, another item that not everyone needs, I bought a wide angle lens for a camcorder I was using, but I didn't spend money for a good lens. I bought one and it bends like crazy. Instead of spending $80 to $120, I spent maybe $50 on this, and boy, does it bend.
Holy moly. I mean, and you don't use that anymore?
No, this is for the camera I had you put back in the bag.
All right.
So I do not use that camera anymore.
Yeah.
It takes mini DVs. It's, you know, and it doesn't fit any of the other cameras.
Kind of hard to transfer mini DVs to your computer nowadays.
Well, there's ways.
Yeah, so how many of you have been, you know, as far as gearheads go, that suddenly you've bent, your will has been bent by the ultimate salesperson, and you end up buying something, and then boom, you know, you're not really using it that much. You say, what did I just buy?
Because we have to have the latest things that are going to totally be useful and sometimes uncomfortable.
Like this Google thing that you just put on yourself.
Yeah, for those that are listening to the audio, I just put a Google cardboard box on my face. And I got to tell you, I thought about getting some padding for it. Or you could just spend an extra, you know, $20-$30 for a more comfortable headset. But yeah. How often, you know, for me, not being a gamer, I don't know how often I'm going to use that. And I make 360 videos. I have thought about buying a bunch of those. So when I go to booths, you know, when I go to cons and have a booth, I'll sell some of those so people can watch the 360 videos as VR. But those aren't really comfortable, I don't think. So right now I might not be, you know, right now I might be considered a gearhead for wanting those or having one of those, but in the future maybe not. But in the future, I think they're going to be a whole lot comfortable than just cardboard. And I also think more people are going to be giving those away, too. Yeah. I don't know if 360 is just going to be a gimmick, too. It could just be a gimmick. And that's what being a gearhead, a lot of it's just given into gimmicks. Selfie sticks. Any little camera that comes with the remote. I don't even know what camera this is for. I was looking for something. I found this camera. I don't know what this remote is for. I really don't. I have an idea, but I don't know for sure.
Are there any brand names on there? I mean, that'll clue you there.
No, not on that remote.
So, okay, remember, all you big companies out there, be sure to put your brand name on that remote because, you know.
Why? Because if you lose the remote, you could just go, you go back and then you buy a new remote from them.
Ooh, that's a scheme, money-making scheme. No good, no good. But, yeah, I mean, as far as gear goes, for me, I mean, years ago, of course, I wanted to get that big camera. I wanted to be the big guy on campus. I wanted to be able to, you know, be noticed and have the top-notch gear or whatever it was. But at a time, you know, you say, hey, my wallet isn't so big. You know, it isn't so tough. So I have to use what I got. And that's just the thing. And well, some people have money and they don't have money.
Okay, Mark. So
yeah.
I know you've bought stuff and brought stuff to cons that you know you don't need, or at least at the time.
Yeah.
You know. Definitely done that.
All right, Mark, tell us a story.
Yeah, okay. What was the one thing that I brought that one time? Boy, I'm going to have to think about that one because it's taken years of being able to say I only
need
this much.
When you were brand new, when you started doing these gigs, you know, doing a variety of gigs, we know there's things that you bought that you thought you'd be using all the time and you brought with you and then you never use. In fact, I'm looking at another item for me right now. It's a shoulder rig that I put my camera on. So it's not a stabilizer. Well, it's sort of a stabilizer. It's not a steady cam. I've heard people call them that, but they're not a steady cam, but it's a shoulder stabilizer. And I used it for a while, and then I realized I don't need it anymore. It's great to be able just to have a camera resting on it, but I can't move around, which is why I don't have a tripod, because I need to move around freely.
I got one of them,
and
too.
I stopped using it. Yep. It was great to help. You know, help me for a good, you know, few conventions. But once I got used to doing things, it became a hindrance. And I don't see anyone carrying those with them unless it's a brand new thing. It's brand new, they're like, oh, yeah, I got this thing. I'm going to play with it. And then you never see it again. You said you had one as well?
Yeah, I've got one. I used it once.
Yeah. And then why did you stop using it?
Because the event that I took it to, I had to go to the bathroom. That turned out to be a little complicated.
Oh, don't end up doing that.
Because it's got all these straps, you know, to hold it on so it doesn't fall off. I understand that, but
I thought it was only like one strap here, maybe one strap.
Wait a minute,
there.
Didn't I see you that at one of the cons was strapped onto you like a movie making thing with the GoPro on your chest and all this other stuff?
Oh no, I got one of those. I got a chest mount for my GoPro too. No, that one I didn't really take to a con. I took it to another event, and then it just got in my way more than I actually would have used it anyway.
You use too many of those camera items on you and gadgets and stuff, and then all of a sudden you can just go ahead and enter a cosplay contest dressed like that, you know?
Exactly.
You could.
He's cameraman.
And I've been accused of cosplaying, you know, because I'll go to places with my hair spiked up and I'll have this gear on me. I've been accused of like, oh, hey, who are you cosplaying as?
Techno dude.
Especially now I have a camera over my shoulder at certain events, which I'm still learning, figuring out. When should I use it? When shouldn't I use it? You know, I'm learning, and I do use it, and I probably still keep on using it. And that comes with experience.
Da-da-da.
You buy something thinking you're going to use it all the time, or you might even buy something thinking you're going to take on freelance jobs and it's going to help you out in certain freelance jobs because, after all, when you did it for a living, you use these things, you know, whatever the item is, all the time. So you're like, I should have one for myself. And then you never use it.
It's GoPro.
You never use it. And yes, I'm holding a box in my hand, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is because it doesn't matter. Because I maybe used it once and I didn't, and that's just because I was mad because I haven't used it at all. But if I did more freelance work in that particular field, not just video, but another field, I probably would have used it, but I just never had.
Now, mine was buying a camera that I should have researched more into. Mm-hmm. Because they kept saying when I went to this one particular place, oh, it's the top of the line, it'll get you the best picture, blah, 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 on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And then I get this thing, and it was a mini DV camera. Mini DV tape is the worst thing ever created in my book. And then,
I can argue with that one. Of course, it's obsolete now. Now it's obsolete. When I bought one, it was already on the way. It was a couple years shy of being obsolete. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten it. It was a thing that my college told me I really should buy, and they really pushed me to buying it. And then the following year, they bought a bunch of them, so no one has to buy their own.
Yeah.
Mini DV was not bad. It's just SD cards got better. They went more digital. Yeah. So I'm not saying anything bad about DVD. That's like saying something bad about other mediums that just because they're obsolete now for the time.
Well,
you got to look at it that way too.
I knew facilities which broadcasted with Mini DV, and many of the programs on Mini DV did not make it on the air because you had to clean the deck every so often, much more often than anything else in history.
Yeah. Well, that's probably because you had a bad deck, and decks were expensive.
They were.
Decks were, for a good deck, you're spending at least a grand. Was it like $1,500 for a decent deck? Especially if you have a digital DV, or HD DV deck. Those things were like $2,000 or something like that.
Now,
when you're doing HD DV, those decks are expensive. You were actually better off buying another HD camera you put in HDV cams and using that as your deck than buying a separate deck.
You were better off with Hi-8. That's the road I should have taken, Hi-8. But that was then. That was that, and Hi-8 is still used.
Well, Betacam is still used in some spots for very, very little, but Betacam, digital, whatever that's called, that people still are impressed by that. Although it's, I don't know how obsolete it is. I don't think anyone really uses those anymore. Remember, I said Betacam, not Betamax. Not Betamax, Betacam.
That the base stations use.
Of course, those, you know, people would still buy those. They're good cameras. They're obsolete now because we all want HD. I mean, people.
But I mean, Toad, my need for gear is my bottom line. It's limited by my wallet. So,
of course.
But I know you have a lot of gear. So when you're going to a place, how do you decide what gear you're bringing with you?
Whatever can fit within a small case that I have. I don't want to have to make multiple trips. I just want this one case to have just enough in there. And of course, I've learned over time you don't need 5 cameras and 8 forms of lighting and multiple extension cords.
What if you're going to an event and you know it's going to be super, super dark and you're going to be recording, you're going to be doing one of these podcasts from an event that's super, super dark? How do you decide?
You bring the lighting that's necessary. Okay. Like, for example, you brought a light kind of like this.
I brought a better one than that, but yeah.
It was
a
plug-in, yes, and a plug-in. And I also brought a light over to How To Halloween, which worked out pretty good.
I think it worked out all right.
It wasn't like you showed up with one entire case dedicated to several LED stand lights, you know.
Bring extra stands I need. I should have brought one more light. One more light would have made that a better thing. And that's how we did. And that's how we learn. And we did bring enough. And the way I feel like the way we figured it out was you and I had a discussion. What are you bringing? What should I bring? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We talked. We didn't actually look at the venue, but we talked to the organizers, and the organizer of the How to Halloween, and we should have two podcasts up from there, so you could go ahead and see how dark that is.
But it still looks good.
It looks good.
It's got that underground feel to it.
It was a very dark venue, and they made it that way on purpose. And we knew about that, and we were able to prepare. And the biggest struggle is when you don't know what to prepare for. And I'll be honest, for my 360 cameras, I got to the point right now, when I bring my big camera, I'm pretty much just carrying that and a couple things in my pocket. But when I bring my 360 camera, I have a whole bag dedicated to these tiny little GoPro-sized cameras because I'm still learning what do I need with me and what don't I need. And that's really what it's about me. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, you saw how I used to carry all that to Comic-Cons and stuff. I used to have a trunk full of camera gear plus that backpack.
Mm-hmm.
I still use the backpack for certain events, but Comic-Con, my bag is literally not even that big, and I take my camera.
You don't want to kill your shoulder, dude.
I used to carry a huge duffel, you know, the camera kit that my college had me buy. We used to have to carry these big duffel bags full of gear for this little tiny camcorder. And then I bought another bag, a hiking photography bag that I was able to use. But I still had so much stuff in it that I didn't need with me everywhere I go. What am I going to do with gaffer's tape when all I'm doing is taking B-roll? Why do I need gaffer's tape with me? Why do I need 50 feet of XLR cord?
You need a little bit of gaffer tape because that's the magic stuff that holds things together, don't you know?
Yeah, but you know, for what I was doing with B-roll, I didn't need it with me. I could have left it in the car, and if I needed to go get it, then I could go get it. Gaffer's, you know... Tape now, when I'm doing a podcast, I'm laying down wire, you know, laying down cord. Of course, I'm going to have gaffer's tape. But if all I'm doing is around the camera, taking pictures or doing, you don't need gaffer's tape.
You broadcasters out here, listen to me. This is Crazy Mark, and I'm going to lay it on the line. Gaffer's tape is a top three thing that you should have with you, no matter what. Don't worry, you know. Let Total will find out one way or another one day. But
okay, where's your gaffer's tape? I guarantee you did not bring gaffer's tape.
I think I have it actually wrapped around on the strap on the camera case. So in case you need it, you wrap it off the strap.
But you knew you're doing a video shoot and not just B-roll. When you're doing... You know,
so in other words...
That stuff's expensive.
Yes, it is. You don't want to lose that stuff.
So here's the next thing. Duct tape.
No. No.
White or black duct tape?
No, don't use
painter's tape.
There you go. Duct tape leaves too much of an adhesive behind.
People will hate you and never invite you back if you use duct tape and it leaves adhesive on the walls, if you're putting up signage. Painter's tape and gaffer's tape and maybe board tape for your own equipment. That's the only kind of tape you should have. Yeah. And even that's going overload because do you really need, you know, white board tape every time you do something? If you're using this soundboard and you know what, for a shoot like this, you know what each thing's going to be. Do you need to keep bringing white board tape out? Of course, that's a small item, but it's one of those things where do I need whiteboard tape? No, I don't need it for my shoots unless I'm doing a large freelance gig. And that's something we go through now. You know, I actually think it's best to have your case completely empty unless you're going on gigs every single day and you know what you're bringing. Different types of gigs, get a fresh case and then think about what you need.
Okay, aside from adhesive down tape, was it the power cords for safety's purposes? Once again, we're going back to the gaffer or duct tape for your own personal use for an item which might require a little bit of holding together.
Well, I can see duct tape for holding your stuff together. I do that a lot. I got some things. Mm-hmm. My old tripod before it finally gave out was held together with some duct tape.
Right on, brother.
Right.
But by the same token, if you have just a couple strips all ready to go stuck onto something like the side of your tripod or perhaps on a camera case, you could whip that off right then and there, make your quick repairs, and keep going.
That's brilliant. keeps your weight down, keeps things you don't
need. I mean, it makes it look like you're a road warrior or something like that with tape all over the place or odds and ends or whatnot. But as a gearhead, you got to do what it takes to keep it together, you know? It's just one of those things. It's like being at war, you know? You're out there in the field against this and that, you know?
You're carrying 80 pounds of... you're bringing a tripod with you, like two different types of tripods and a monopod.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, you're out there. You want to get the action, you know?
A mic stand because you never know.
Never know.
You never know.
Then you do an event that has a whole bunch of Marines and you're like, oh, I just want to be prepared.
Exactly. I mean... You know you're going to need a lot more business cards, too.
Yes.
You're going to need at least 1,000 business cards. But for those that are only listening, I'm just throwing stuff on the table at this point. Anyways, trying to get back on topic. William, I know you have a gearhead story.
Oh, I have several of them. Come on. I own every single Raspberry Pi that they've ever made, except for version 3.
What does a Raspberry Pi do, William?
Why are you bringing Pi to a gig?
It's a computer. Numbers.
Oh.
You know how many times I use them? Never.
Is it like a BlackBerry or something like that?
It's like an Arduino, actually. One of those little electronic things.
I got a little computer over there, and I barely use it, but yeah. I do use it.
I don't use it. I mean, for my basic computer help, I want to do Linux videos, but it doesn't have the processing power to screen capture.
Okay.
So
what do you do with gear that you own but you don't use?
It sits somewhere. I'm starting to look like an episode of Hoarders.
Okay, I know you got gear stories, Mark. I know you have a lot of stuff you don't use anymore.
Honestly, the whole gear story thing is I learned early on, if you can't carry it with your two hands, then you don't need to be taking it out in the field. It's just one of those things. You want to get to where you're going. You don't want to have to sit stuff down and walk a mile back into BFE, come back, and find some of your gear missing. Because, I'd get these two things over here. No, you want to be able to have everything with you, two hands, two cases, whatever, you know, you lift up the cases and hang things over that or whatever it is. But you got to be able to manage it, keep it organized. And as much as you might love wanting to get, I got to have that red cam. I got to have
What if I need this? Don't know. What if I need this?
Well, take a look at it. Read up on it. Find out, get the reviews on it, because something might come out and say, okay, wow, man, that looks like the greatest thing on earth, but they're using you as a test market for their new product.
But I have a crane. I have a self-system crane. What if I might need this for the shoot? I could leave it in the car.
Oh, you can, if you want to leave stuff in the car, you go right ahead, you know?
You brought up several valid points. That's why I'm questioning you.
Now, here's the thing.
And one's is security.
If you're out on a shoot and you're already in that profession of film or something to that effect, then you know what you're going to have. You're going to have your van out there with your dolly, with your boom, with your crane, the whole nine yards, because you're reputable, you've signed contracts, you're making money off of this thing. You know, all the more power to you. But when you're, you know, a self-sustaining videographer and broadcaster running off to events to shoot, get things, who knows how much money you're making. You might not be making much money at all. Maybe you're bartering with somebody. When you're down in the trenches that far or trying to get up and out, you're not going to be taking around thousands of pounds of gear, thousands of dollars of gear to try to be impressive. That's one thing you don't want to do. The whole fake it till you make it idea works only to a certain point. And then after that, you're saying to yourself, why that bleep am I doing all this when I can just take two cases of everything I need, and I'm not killing myself to make a few dollars and get my name out there or continue to get my name out there. And I'm ranting and raving.
Just to recap what Mark just said, the answer was, if you don't know that you need it and if it's expensive, where you're going to leave it in your car, you might want to just leave it. If it's that expensive and you really don't know, find out. And usually the answer is no, especially if you're not getting paid. If you're going to bring a lot of equipment with you, especially something that is worth a lot of money, find out ahead of time, because you brought up security, and that is a huge concern
you don't want
of
to lose.
Mine.
You know, you spend
and should be a huge concern of everybody.
Yeah, mine too.
Gone like the wind.
Yeah, I mean, with me, I hate leaving gear on the car. If I'm going to and from a gig, I don't even stop at the grocery store if I don't have to.
No, exactly.
I know people that have lost, that had cars broken in yes. when they stopped to just pick up road snacks.
1 second is all it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You have to be very careful. Do you have anything before I do the final recap?
All I can say is work within your budget, because you can't go affording to max out your credit card on things that aren't going to be necessary unless you already have contracts on the works that you have money coming in. Be smart. Think about these things. You know, you want to be able to still eat and pay the rent.
Oh, and if there is any expensive gear you're thinking about getting, rent it first. See if you'll actually use it.
Yes.
William rules. William's got the biggest point of all right
what,
there.
One
yeah.
of the lenses that everybody was telling me I should really, really get, I looked it up, it's $2,000. I'm like, I might rent it to see if I even need it.
There you go.
That's perfect response. So just to recap, we all love new gear. Research. And if you can rent it first.
Yes, amen.
And don't go for cheap imitations either, unless it works. You could rent those too.
Well, I've done cheap imitations on stuff that I knew I was only going to use for one or two little things.
Okay.
Even if it was a recurring thing, I don't need anything that had image stabilization to take a picture of the moon.
Okay, so William from allaboutwilliam.com, Mark from crazymark.com, and I'm Toten from Toten.com, also youtube.com/Toten K, where if you're listening to this and you want to see the video, that's where you go. And we're also available on Pod Bros, Media Litter Sandwich. Wow, I'm messing up my own podcast. MediaLitterSandwich.com and Podbeam and other places too. Thank you for watching, listening. Hope you enjoyed our discussion. Thank you.
See ya.